to open up that roof and drop a miracle in you. If you believe that, give each other a high five and sit down. Well, I feel like I'm that horse that's at the gate. Been needing to get going here. Because last week I was supposed to preach and I got really sick. So thank you for praying for me. I mean, literally my voice just left. I'm like, oh, okay, I can't even talk right now. So I thank God for our team. Weren't they amazing, our women's team? Came back from convention to minister God's word. But, you know, God gave me a word, of course, for convention, and it was such an honor to preach for our leadership retreat. But the word he's given me this morning is a little bit on the same lines. But I've entitled this Relentless Expectation. I feel expectation in this place. I feel expectation in this place. And you brought it. I didn't bring it. You brought it. Because your heart is like that song. You're so ready for God to fill your cup. But you know what the beautiful part about our ministry is we don't just get filled up to stay filled up. We get filled up to give all week long. That's what Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and now Tuesdays are going to be all about, getting your cup filled to give, because there's so many people waiting for something from you. Amen. So just a little quick note on Sunday nights. Pastor and I really felt like wintertime is a good time for you to spend with your family on Sunday evenings and get them ready for school. And the holidays are coming up. Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving. We really want you to take advantage of this and make the most of your time with your family. We really feel strongly that God is about family. Amen. He's the center of family, and he desires for us to bond. So there's going to be some beautiful things taking place in your family because we've been praying for you. And if you don't have family, we're your family. Amen. Victory Outreach, we're your family, and we love you. And I know Thanksgiving is coming. If you know a family member in the church that doesn't have some place to spend Thanksgiving, invite them over. But on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we're going to have a beautiful communion service, a Thanksgiving service, and a dessert. So we're going to celebrate together to be grateful for the things that God has done. Because hasn't he been good? It's been so good. Even in our worst trials and our hardest times, God is good. He brings us through. Amen? And that's the relentless expectation I want to talk about. I was so honored to be able to speak at our leadership retreat. And I did not take it lightly, especially when I found out that this is a theme that Pastor Sonny got directly from God. Relentless pursuit is a theme that God dropped in our founder's heart to take the direction of the ministry on a relentless pursuit of Jesus. We're living in a time, and we all know this, that we need him more than ever. We need him. We need to turn off our TVs, turn off people's opinions. Yesterday at lunch, I said, I don't want to talk politics. I want to talk Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. And they shut up real quick. Because it's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's going to do no matter what. He is God and he's on the throne, and whatever happens, it's Jesus. He's leading the way. Amen? So shut those things down. Begin to take these opportunities to really press in with God. That's what a relentless pursuit is all about. My message at the retreat was, you know, three relationships that you need to have. You need to have a relentless relationship with Jesus. You need to have a relentless relationship with each other and with your disciples. And I really, really believe that. But this morning, I want to talk about a person or some people who had such an expectation within their heart that they were going to get to Jesus no matter what. And you have to think about this right now, because you're going to be tested and you're going to go through trials and you're going to be tempted to want to wait on the sidelines like some other people we're going to talk about and just watch things happen instead of making things happen or being in what's happening. Because right now we are on a flow. Everybody say flow. There's a river flowing, and the river is flowing with faith, with expectation, with the move of God, with the supernatural power of God, and you need to jump in. Because I'm going to expose what the enemy's been trying to do to some of you. This morning, the devil is going to be a liar, which he is, but he's going to be the one that's under your feet. You're going to put him where he belongs, and then you're going to use these feet for what they were intended to, walk in the footsteps of God. He has an ordained plan for your life, for you to walk in it, and so does the enemy. He has a sidetrack line. He has a deceiving line, and he wants you to go that way when God says, stay here. There was a quote the other day that said, the straight and narrow path is very narrow, right? We know that. The road to heaven is narrow. The road to hell is very wide. Everybody fits on that one. Who are we going to be with? Are we going to be with those few that are on the narrow or on the wide? This one is open right now, but we have to stay here, stay relentless, stay on our pursuit. Not be moved, not by anything we see or hear or feel, but keeping our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, who goes before us and makes every crooked path straight. He is not going to let you down, I promise you. And this morning, I want to thank my husband for allowing me to preach. I love him so much. I'm so grateful for his leadership in my life and the leader that he is to this church. And thank you for appreciating us. We appreciate you more. Amen. You love us? We love you more. We love you guys. We're so grateful. We wouldn't be the pastors of this church without you. You're the church. You're the congregation, and we love you. So are you ready to increase your expectation? But I have a question for you this morning. What are you doing to increase your expectation? What are you doing? What are you doing? Because it takes faith to build our expectation. How many of you know this theme is an action word theme? God told us this year to put action to our faith. Not just to believe, but to expect and to not be moved. And in this pursuit this year, you may have been let down a little bit. You may have not seen what God wanted to do, or he may have not done it the way you wanted him to do it. But I want you to know it's his will. His perfect will is unfolding, and everything that he promised you will come to pass. But it's got to be in his perfect will. Can you say amen? This relentless pursuit, I believe, is dropped in our founder's heart, because as the enemy is pursuing us harder than ever, and I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about on fire Christians, especially Victory Outreach, because we're radical. We're crazy. We do everything. We have an event every single weekend for the whole summer. We're crazy. And we're not finished yet. We have Saturday Passion for Purity Girls. Come on, you need to come out. For support our young ladies, I really want to plug that, because it's important for them to see us and to be there with them. Amen. Support them. But we've had something every single Saturday. And guess what? It hasn't been about us. It's been about others. And in a relentless pursuit, that's what you're going to find. You're going to find that this isn't about you. I mean, marriage has taught me that. How many of you can say amen? Marriage has taught me that it's not about me. I mean, my husband loves me. He cares for me. He's a wonderful husband, the most loving, kind husband. But I'm here to make sure his needs get taken care of. I'm not talking about I'm a doormat. I'm not that. Because we're equal, amen? We're joint heirs in the kingdom of God. But I'm talking about God has given me him to take care of him, to be that helpmate to him, to make sure that I do my part in this ministry to help him and in our home and in our family. And I love that part. I love it with all my heart. And I remember when he pursued me. That's why I still pursue him. He pursued me. He loved pit bulls. I'm not the pork chop, but he pursued me like a pit bull on a pork chop. That's a weird analogy, I know. Sorry, too weird, sorry. Get that out of your mind. But I'm talking about he was relentless. Pit bulls are relentless. He's not a pit bull, but they are. He was relentless. Like, I mean, everywhere I went, there he was. Every party, yes, I was in the world. Every party I went to, there he was. There he was. You want to go out? Do you want to go out? Do you want to go out? We were friends. I'd say, dude, we are friends. I like you as my friend. Well, I want to go out with you. Oh, you're my friend. Eventually, we started to date and fell in love. And I believe it's because of that pursuit back then that we're still together today. Because that love, that it keeps growing and growing and growing. For you single women, if your man ain't chasing you, then he's not your man. Amen? If he's chasing himself, he's not your man. And you women, you shouldn't be chasing him. Because that's not scriptural. The Bible said Adam went and found his wife. And when you find a wife, you find a good thing. That means he was looking. He was on the pursuit. Amen? I don't know who that was for. But anyway, so I know, I know that we have been on a pursuit this whole year. And you're going to see more to see the gospel come to life in people's lives like never before. That's the hour we're living in. To bring you revelation knowledge of who Jesus is, the truth of who he is, so that you'll never be led astray. We're going to look at these group of people found in Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17. And that's why I said about the roof, because now we're going to know why. It says, one day, as he was teaching, there was Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal. Everybody say power. Some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and lay him down in front of Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because the crowd, they went up on the roof and removed some tiles to make an opening and lowered him through the tiles with a stretcher in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their active, everybody say active, faith springing from their confidence in him, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. Now, remember, this is Jesus. He's preaching. There's crowds. I love to picture the Bible as it was. I could imagine it was a room maybe about this size, and it was filled to capacity. How many can hardly wait till we're filled to capacity, till we have to go into two services? Well, that's going to happen when the church really comes alive. Come on now. We're on our way, and we really need to be. And I'm talking about alive in prayer, alive in believing, alive in reaching souls for the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus did not say, you're healed, but he said, your sins are forgiven first. Because without sins being taken out of a person's life first, the soul is really not healed. That has to take place first. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the International Version says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version says this, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy and consecrated to him. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is supposed to change us, every part of us. Not just hearing, but the way we become becomers of that word, the way we do the word, the way we put action to that word, as we actually allow it to penetrate the soul and the spirit and change us from the inside out. We've got to be changed from the inside out, because religious people change from the outside only. Religious people, they put on a good show. It's easy, right? I've been religious, have you? Where you walked the walk but didn't, I mean, you walked it but you didn't really live it. You looked it but you didn't live it. You talked it but you didn't live it. It's easy to put on a suit. There was a greeter this morning, one of the men in the home, and I said, you look so handsome today. And his suit actually matched his spirit. Amen? So I could tell him that, and he wouldn't get all, oh, she told me I look handsome. It's all right. Pastor's wife can tell you to look handsome. I'm not going to just tell anybody. Your spirit better be right. Amen? But his spirit matched his suit. But there's many people that wear the suit, but their spirit doesn't match. On the inside, they're all tore up. Messed up. Secret sin. The whole nine yards. Religious. Looking good. Jesus said, let me cleanse you spirit, soul, and body. Let me make you whole. That's why I love what we just sang. Make you whole. That's what filling our cup is all about. It's going to take relentless expectation to be like these men. They were relentless in their pursuit. Amen? They were willing to do whatever it took to get their brother to church. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get someone to church? Are you willing to go out of your way to get someone to church? People are waiting. They're waiting. Maybe some are so sick that they can't get in their own car and come. Are you willing? These men had, number one, relentless faith. They had relentless faith. They stood out. They decided, you know what? If we can't get in the right way through the door, we will make a way. And in those days, if you know that there was actually stairs on the sides of houses, and the roof was a place of meeting for people, it was another area. So they already knew that. They said, if we can get to the top, which we can carry the stretcher up. How many know that was work? Taking them up. We know we can make a hole in the roof and get him down. We know that if we get him in there, he will be healed. They didn't think, they didn't say maybe, they didn't say if, they said he will. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus could heal them. Their relentless faith caused them to do something that was risky and that was going to take some energy. Have you become that person that is not risky anymore? It happens, especially when you go through trials, especially when you go through tribulations, especially in those times where it's dark and you don't feel that God is with you. It's easy to be rocked into religion. It's easy to be rocked into a place where your relationship is dull with God. But these men had active faith. Their faith was immovable. They were relentless, and they said, we've got to get him in the doors. Listen, we can't be those people that don't bring people to the house of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Now, I know we're spoiled. We have TV, we have radio, we have this, we have that. We are so spoiled in America. But that's not the same as coming to the house of God. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of the saints. He says that for a reason, because there's something about saints when we get together. Did you feel the power of worship? Especially when Larry started singing and the greeting. We did that on purpose because we want to stir you up if you're religious. That messed you all up, didn't it? Some of you were thinking, what? Be happy. What? And some of you just wanted to go with it and dance. Come along. Come on. Some of you wanted to do it. Why didn't you? This is the place where you should be the happiest. This is the place where you should let your hair down and enjoy the presence of God. Amen? Enjoy the presence of God. That's what church does. It builds your faith. Now, we've been through some seasons where there's been lots of gossip and division and strife and craziness, and it's usually been the women. And my husband said to me one day, Mama, can you deal with the drama? I said, yes, sir, I will deal with the drama. And I began to deal with the drama in a whole different way. We did it through teaching, through all the Bible studies. Last year, we were relentless in specific titles, and next year's even going to be better, ladies. I want you to be excited. We're so excited. God's given me a plan. But I started to deal with that. But men have drama, too. You just show your drama different. Ooh. What's up? A hardcore macho. You know, women talk. And men go, whoop. Women go, and men go, whoop. And that's drama. Either way, it's drama, right? So God dealt with the drama. That's what church. Hey, listen, do you have drama in your family? Come on, get real. Yes, that's family. We wouldn't be family if we didn't fight with each other a minute and then kiss and make up. This is the way it is. But some people get so religious. I'm not going to back to church because I heard, and I saw a fight in the parking lot, and the pastor asked for two offerings. And shush. Shush. Just come to church for what you're supposed to do, your relentless expectation. God has a word for you. He always has something for you, but it depends on us. How do we prepare our heart in the morning? Do we wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to church? Oops, I almost pushed the pulpit off the edge. That would be crazy. Am I just going to go? I'm just going to church because I have to. Well, you had an extra hour to decide that today. And I'm so glad for some of you that were early. But you just go because it's your obligation. And listen, when I was in my old religion, my dead religion, it was my obligation. And guess what? I didn't go. I ditched. I told my mama I was going. I'd get my dollar offering. And I'd go and do whatever. I didn't go because it was dead to me. A relationship with Jesus is different. A relationship with Jesus drives you. It makes you want to be in his presence. A relentless relationship with Jesus causes you to hunger and to thirst for more of him. Causes you to get to a place where you say, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, God. I want more of you so I can give more of you. What are we giving if we don't get filled up? Number two is a relentless determination. These men were determined. They were not taking no for an answer. They were not leaving the same. They were going to go into the house of God to get what they came for. And believe me, when you take somebody to church, you get the first fruits. Whatever you're taking people to church for, you're going to get the first fruits. Did you know that? You get the first fruits of whatever you're bringing somebody into church for. If you're bringing them for salvation, guess what? God's going to save your family. If you're bringing them for healing, God's going to heal you. If you're bringing them because they need a financial breakthrough, you're going to get a financial breakthrough because you've made a way for somebody. Amen? These men were determined, and I believe they got the first anointing of that. Oh, they got so filled with the power of God that they began to preach about it. They became his voice piece. They went out and began to tell people. But let me tell you who was sitting on the sidelines doubting. The Pharisees, they were doubting. They were saying questions like, who does he think he is? I'm paraphrasing, please forgive me. Who does he think he is? Healing. He doesn't have the authority. He doesn't have the authority to say they're healed and he's not sick anymore. He had the authority, but they couldn't see because their eyes were too religious. And the enemy would love to cloud your vision of who Jesus is so that you can't see that he really is your healer. He really is your deliverer. He really is the one that can set you free. And that's what happened. They sat on the sidelines judging the situation. And self-righteousness is a big deal right now. Selfies, everybody loves selfies. Oh, man, it's easier and easier to take selfies. I have the new phone, and it's so easy to take a selfie, and it even has a portrait mode. I mean, selfie, 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 self, 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 self. Everywhere you look, it's about self. And Christianity is the opposite of that. And that's why we get shunned so hard, because it's a selfless life to live for Christ. It's a denying of yourself to live for him. They had this relentless determination, and they knew that God was about to do something great. I want you to know that there is no ifs in the plan of God. Perry Stone, I heard him recently, he shared how his dad, his father, he comes from four generations of pastors or preachers. He said that his father told him, son, in your prayer life and in your life, there's seven words. I think it's seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. Yeah, he said that you'll have to Always remember, there is no ifs in God's perfect plan. The only time that the word if is shown in the Bible is if my people who are called by God's name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil and wicked ways, then I will hear the prayers from heaven and heal their land. There's more ifs in us. If I had more money, if I had more time, if I had more energy, if my wife, if my husband, if my kids, if my church, if. But God is saying there shouldn't be no ifs. In God, there is no ifs. His word is yea and amen to the believer. Now, I grew up with a religious saying, if the Lord is willing. And I know the truth behind that as I grew in the Lord. You know, I thought about it for a while. What I believe that they were trying to say is what Jesus said in the garden. Not my will be done, but yours. That's different. There's going to come a time where you're seeking God's perfect will on a situation, and you need to say, God, not my will, but yours. Not my will be done, but yours. So if God is saying to us, which he is, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, then he's telling us we need to do something about the ifs. Amen? He's already done it. He's done. He's finished. His word is yea and amen. What we need to do is walk in it. There is a perfect will and a permissive will. And many times he'll let you go down the permissive will. Okay, little daughter and little son, you're being a little stubborn right now and you want to do it your way instead of my way. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go down this road because you think you know it all and you think you know the Bible better than me and you think. And I'm going to go ahead and let you. But that's not my perfect plan. And then, eventually, because he loves us, he brings us into his perfect will. He loves us so much that he'll just get us right back in alignment. And once we're in that alignment, guess what? Sacrifice begins to take place. He starts asking us, if you are willing. If. He's a gentleman, and he'll never force himself on our will. So he's always going to ask us the hard questions. There's no if in God doing for us, but there is many ifs in us doing for God. What are we going to do with what we have is the question. God has already given you salvation, deliverance, freedom from addiction. He's brought you into the family of God. He's given you his word. He's given you truth. He's given you a job. Oh, come on. Come on. It was God that gave you the job. Don't be acting like you got the job and you're all this and you're all that. God gave you the job. You didn't even qualify. Pastor Pat did not qualify for the job he has. Oh, but because he's a giver and because he knows his priorities in God, God opened the doors that no man could shut. So when God says, give me your tithe, your 10%, he doesn't expect us to question him. Well, what if the church doesn't do the right thing? What? No, just do it. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to God and watch God move you up on the ladder. He wants to make you the boss. Why? Because you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. The Bible says you are his chosen generation. All those other people are just in the workforce, but you're the one chosen by God. So of course he wants to raise you up, but you got to stay in his will. What are you going to do with what you have? Are you going to be obedient to the Lord? Are you going to be that one spinning your wheels, never making ends meet? Don't know where your money's going because you're just crazy with it. You haven't let God be in control. You haven't put him first. The third thing is relentless pursuit of Jesus. They found out where he would be. You know how news travels fast, right? Come on, don't act like you're like, you don't, oh, I don't listen. His ears are holy. Yes, they should be. But news travels fast. And guess what? As human beings, we like the trash. As we can see on every news station in the world, trash. But what about the good things? Did they follow us to Code Red, where we are helping prostitutes? Did they come to our citywide event for children, where we're trying to help children in our neighborhood? Are they going to go with us to the hood, where we roll through the hood and bring Santa Claus and some gifts to kids that are in need? No, the world loves bad news. And so do you sometimes. And you need to get to a place where you decide, this vessel belongs to God. I am not a garbage can. I am not that. I want only what God has for me. I'm not talking about discussing things that are going on in your life with the right person. I'm just talking about not going and listening to things that are going to mess your faith up. See, there's all kinds of things that are assigned to mess your faith up. And I love that they found out where he was, they prepared their hearts, they expected the change, and from that day on, they spread the word. He immediately stood up before them, picked up his stretcher, and went home glorifying and praising God. They were all astonished, and they began glorifying God, and they were filled with the reverential fear of God, saying, "We have seen a wonderful and an incredible thing today." See, when you hear the gospel, when you really hear it, you're going to want to share it. When you see God with your own eyes do something, you're going to want to share it. When you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a trial and you were in a very dark place, but God brought you through, you're going to shout it from the rooftop. Amen? The enemy is good at making people fall back to sleep in their faith. These are sentences that will cause you to go from on fire Christianity to dead religion. And you need to be aware of them, because we have all been tempted to say them or have said them. If you're saying, if you're that person that says, "I don't need to go to church to get fed," you're religious. If you sit on the sidelines judging God's move rather than engaging and participating, you are. If you say, "I don't need to press in and pray," you are. If you say, "I don't have to give my tithes and offering to my church because look at all the people they must all be giving," you are. If I say, "I don't need to read my Bible every day." If you say, "I don't need to be accountable to my leaders with my life." If you say, "I don't need to go to conferences because now I can watch them online." If you say, "I'm going to a church where I can get the word." Because what are you going to do with what you have? I mean, my goodness, God has given you a lot. You are walking Bible, some of you. I know, I hear you. You quote it all the time. But what are you doing with it? We have to give it. We have to give it. We have to be the rivers of living water. We have to constantly let it be flowing from our lives unto dry and thirsty land. And if you can't find a pulpit to preach from, go on the corner of Central and San Mateo, or go on the corner of Wyoming, or go into the prisons, or go into the jails, or go somewhere. Sister Julie, when she was a young girl, before she got married to Pastor Sonny, she would go in L.A. with her little ukulele on the street corner. She would stand on a box and worship God. She looked like a crazy woman in East L.A. And she would sing and she'd worship God, and then she'd start preaching to everybody around her and say, "Jesus loves you. He wants to change." She was on fire, and she is still on fire. 50-some years later, Sister Julie is still on fire, still doing the same thing she did then. And there's something about keeping the fire of God that will keep you relentless. It will keep you in pursuit of Jesus. Because he is there to be found. You just need to seek him to find him. It's that personal relationship with Jesus that sets you apart from the religious people. It's that, oh my goodness, we have such an honor and a privilege to be able to come before Him every single day and cry out to Him, Abba, Father, I come to You, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank You that You're my Father and You love me and You care for me, God. And You have Your perfect plan in my ahead of me, God. Let me walk in that today. We have the privilege of coming before Him, but it's easier for us to call. Can you pray for me? No. I feel like telling some people sometimes, no, pray for yourself. How about you pray for me? I won't ever do that, I promise. But it's in my head, just telling you, just saying, like, are you kidding me? This is the 159th time you've asked for that same request. But I'm going to pray. I have a blood sister that does that every single time. I love her to pieces. Barb, can you pray for this, 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 and this? Okay, let's pray. I said, you know what? The other day I told her, guess what, sister? She goes, what? I go, you're going to pray, and I'm going to agree with you. I am? Yeah. You can pray. Come on, bring it. I'm driving, pray. I'm in agreement. And she began to cry out to God so much that she started weeping and weeping and weeping in the presence of God. Because see, when you get into the presence of God, into that relentless place where you found and you've contacted Jesus and you're in one spirit and one accord with Him, and you begin to cry out to Him, your hour will not be enough. 2 hours won't be enough. 3 hours won't be enough. Because who wants to get out of the presence of God anyway? Who wants to live in this ugly world? Leslie, that's why your baby doesn't want to be born. She's very happy there. This is a crazy world. These babies like it in there. But God's saying, press in. Press in. You're going to find me. Everything I have for you is right here. Everything I have for you. So don't worry if you call me 150 or 160 times, I still will pray for you. But I'm just saying that we really have to get to a place where we know who we are. Maybe it's you don't know who you are. Because if you know who you are in Christ, you're going to know you have a daddy that cares. You're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your daddy cares and that He is faithful to minister to you. He's faithful. It's that personal relationship. See, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they had dead religion. They had a bunch of rules and regulations and don't do this and don't do that. And we've been accused of that because we have structure. Don't mistake structure with rules and regulations like these Pharisees had. We have to have structure for some of you people. Oh my gosh, Victory Outreach people are crazy. That's okay though, we love you. I was crazy, I needed structure. The structure keeps you accountable. It keeps you in line. It keeps you safe. Counsel, that's safety in the multitude of counselors. That's what accountability is all about. Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about religious on the outside, always judging what's going on. Always sitting there criticizing and mocking the move of God. And they're missing it. They're missing the move of God. Because there is a promise at the end of their relentless pursuit if they would just press in. The Bible says that we're in danger of losing our first love. We're in danger of that. In Revelations 2:1, it says, write this to the church of Ephesians, to the angel of the Lord, the one of the seven stars in the right hand is his first grip. Striding through the golden seven light circles, speak, I see what you have done, your hard work, hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage, in my case, that you have never wore out. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste. For I'm well on my way of removing your light from the golden circle. That's in Revelations 2, 1 through 5 in the Message. I wanted to say that scripture, read that scripture, because that is alarming, right? I mean, that is like straight up, you have fallen, a Lucifer fall. That's a pretty heavy statement. And I had a hard time when the Lord told me to say it out of this version, because that's a heavy statement. But listen, there's many people that don't even know they're on a Lucifer fall. They're so blinded by their religious life that they don't even know they're on a religious fall. They're on a Lucifer fall. But he's saying, turn back. What I love about Jesus is that he always gives us a chance to turn back and make it right. See, that's what Jesus is all about. The Bible says he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And he's able to bring his sheep back into the fold every time we go astray. But we have to turn. Everybody say turn. It's got to be a turn. What is it? What's a turn? It's an action word. It puts you in a motion to do something about your situation. So if you expect change without turning or without seeking it or without being relentless in your pursuit, then it's not going to happen. Relationship with Jesus is an action word. Moving forward in your faith is an action word. I have served the Lord now for over 40 years in action. In action. Always in action. I never get tired of pursuing my God. I never get to the point where I say I've arrived or I know it all or I have it together. I am still learning as your leader. Pastor is still learning. We're still in pursuit of God. So have mercy on us the way we have mercy on you. I understand what your needs are and what you want and what you'd like, but just pray about it. Pray it through. Pray it through. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. But we've got to pray it through. Don't be religious judging on the sidelines what you're not willing to make happen. You have to be willing to put your hands to the plow. Put your hands to the plow. Everybody do this. I'm not letting go. Not. These are the horns of the altar. This is the safe place to be in the presence of God. This is the place where change happens when we hold on and we don't let go. Amen? We can't let go. Romans 12:1 says, so here's what I have, what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that even without you thinking, you fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. In your journey that is specifically designed for you, he is shaping you into the person he wants you to be. Don't get adjusted to the culture around you. We all have to work in this world and live in this world, but don't be so comfortable with it. Don't be that person at work that listens to that joke and laughs. Walk away. Walk away. Turn it off. Walk away. Do something different. Don't adjust to the culture, is what he's saying. Don't let the culture change you. You change the culture. You be the teabag in the hot water and make things happen. Amen? A teabag is nothing till you put it in some hot water. And you're going to be in some hot water situations, but you have to bring the change. You have to go ahead and go through it. Tell yourself, I'm going to go through it because I know God's got something for me. He always has your best interest at heart. Amen? Always. It's like God is saying to us as the body of Victory Outreach, it's time for us to get our affairs in order. I feel like at this conference that we are the women military, part of the military, because I believe in our men of God. I thank God for our men. They're our leaders. They pray and they seek God and they get direction for us. Like Pastor Sunday got the direction of our church. But what he was telling the women, and he told us loud and clear, get in line. Get your affairs in order. Quit your tripping. Get yourself ready. Because if you think you've been in warfare before, it's coming, people. It's coming. We're going to enter into that end time warfare. And if we don't do some of the things I'm talking about today to get our life ready, we're going to not make it. I'm not saying that we won't make it. I'm saying you've got to know who is your commanding officer. You've got to get a relentless relationship with him. You've got to get in that place lined up with him because the enemy is coming. If you think you're a target now, no. We don't even know the beginning. We're just tasting a little bit. I know we have a target on us as Christians, but it's coming. The enemy wants to take you out. He wants to take your faith out. If he can take your faith, he has everything. He wants to take your faith, your kids' faith, your family's faith. He wants to take the church's faith. He wants to take us out, and we can't let him. We have to get our affairs in order, soldier up, mature up, say enough is enough. It's time for me to get in my position to take my marching orders and do what God has called me to do, to quit being religious on the sidelines, to quit watching things happen but start making things happen, to quit being part of the problem and making the problem go away by my maturity, by my relentless pursuit, by my love for God, because God is coming. What is the warfare all about? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Come on, worship team. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Jesus is coming. Can I say it again louder? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. All the signs are here. The prophecies have been done. They're everything. Every prophecy that needed to be spoken or had to come to pass has come to pass. The prophecies have been spoken. Jesus is coming. And he's coming quickly. The Bible says, like a thief in the night. Is this message to scare the hell out of you? Well, if there's hell in you, yeah. No, this message is to give you the relentless desire to press through and pursue him like never before. Jesus is coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We all have blemishes. We all have spots. There is none that is perfect, not even one, because then we wouldn't need the Savior. But this morning, he's calling us. The Bible says the deep calls to the deep. Stand with me right now. Don't move around. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Everybody stay in that atmosphere. Listen, there is some cups in this room that need to be filled, overflowing, not with dead religion, but with supernatural power of God. Because you have something to do for him. There's something specific that each one of you have to do for him. I am not you and you're not me. You have a different circle of influence. I have a big circle of influence. Pastor has a big circle of influence. But outside the house of God, there are some people that are looking to your testimony. There are some people that are looking to your faith. There are some people that are going to need some overflow because they don't have the strength to get it themselves. There are some people who need Jesus. Close your eyes and lift your hands. And as we begin to sing this song, I just want you to think about your life. Just think about your life. Who you are in him. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. This morning, God, we need more of you, God. Oh, we lift it up to you, Jesus. Come on, lift your cups up to him. Lift it up to him. Whatever your expectation is today. Yes, God. Quench. Quench, God. Oh, come on, let him fill you this. These altars are open. You know the breakthrough you need this morning.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Come on, press in this morning. Press in this morning.
Oh, yes, God.
Oh, come and quench, God. Get up here. Don't care about what people think. There's a river flowing right now. A river of living water. God's about to destroy some yokes this morning.
Yeah.